And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
We have been studying some important parables the last few weeks. If you've been with us, this is our third week in Matthew chapter 13. And it's great to read all of the parables all together because you can see Jesus' train of thought as he teaches. And so today we're studying some shorter parables that's focused specifically on the value of the kingdom of heaven. And when you're evaluating something, you're really trying to ask two questions. How much does it cost and how much is it worth? If you've been house hunting at all in the past few weeks, sorry, this might make your anxiety spike a little bit, but you know that the housing market's a little nuts right now. And when you're house hunting, you're looking for a house of good value. It means you hope that what you pay for it is way less than what it's actually worth, right? That's the balance you want to find. When you're house hunting, you want to find a hidden gem. And so what we're reading about today is talking about the value of the kingdom. We're talking about three things specifically about this kingdom value. I want us to see in these parables that the kingdom of heaven has value for us today, here and now. The kingdom of heaven has value for us in the life to come. We can look forward to that. But this value is hidden. So let's look more closely at the text and see what Jesus is saying. First, the kingdom of heaven has value for us now. And these first two parables, they go together like this. They are supposed to be parallel to each other. We see two different situations where someone finds a treasure that Jesus tells us is the kingdom of God. So let's talk about it. First, the first parable, someone stumbles across this treasure accidentally. They're not looking for it. They happen upon it. So back in the day, they did not have banks. The Wells Fargo wagon was not a coming down the street. And they didn't have stacks of paper money either. They had gold or gemstones or family heirlooms. So if you had a lot of this, what would you do with it? You'd bury it in your backyard. Very effective banking method. And so in this time period, what would often happen, or what would happen sometimes, is someone of great wealth would die without leaving a map. And so after the property changes hands a couple of times, someone might forget that there was ever a treasure to begin with. And so someone new comes along, and they have no idea what value they're sitting on. It sounds like I'm describing the beginning of a great treasure hunting movie, right? This is what's happening in this first parable. So a servant's, maybe a servant, we don't know, but someone's in the field, stumbles across this treasure. And by the way, this is a parable. This is not Jesus saying, here's what to do if you find buried treasure in your best friend's backyard. This is not an ethics thing. This is a parable, and Jesus is trying to teach us about this treasure. This character, this man, sells everything that he has so that he can buy the land, and then the treasure is his. And look at what the text says. He doesn't do this grumbling. He's not anxious as he's selling all of his stuff. What does it say? It says he's joyful. He's giddy. He's excited. With joy, he trades in everything he has because he knows he's getting something better. And so then with the pearl merchant, with this other parable that's supposed to run parallel, we see kind of the same thing, but it's a little different. The pearl merchant does not stumble upon it. He spends his life looking for good pearls. He is an expert in his field. And this is the elusive mega pearl, what all pearl merchants hope to stumble across, to find. And that's what he's been looking for, and that's exactly what he finds. And so these parables going together show us that both of these different types of treasures have great, enormous value. And whether they stumble upon it or whether they're seeking it out, they both immediately know the value when they come upon it. Why would a servant, who's probably already pretty poor, start selling off his possessions? You'd think he's probably pretty nuts, right? Until you discover he he's found something better. Why would a pearl merchant start giving away all of his pearls? Start hawking them off to the other pearl merchants? You'd think he's nuts, right? Unless he has found the pearl of all pearls. Both of these characters have found something worth more than anything they've ever seen or owned or experienced. And they will go to insane, nonsensical lengths to obtain it. No sacrifice is too small compared to the surpassing worth of the treasure. And Jesus says, this treasure is the kingdom of heaven. It's worth so much more than this world has to offer. And here's the interesting thing about these two parables. When the men sell everything that they own, they immediately get the value of the treasure transferred over into their account, if you will. They don't have to wait for it. They don't sell everything and then just kind of hang out for a while. They immediately buy the field, they immediately buy the pearl, and get that wealth. And so Jesus seems to be telling us that the kingdom of heaven has great value for us today. You know, we often talk a lot about the kingdom of heaven, right? We think about heaven, the afterlife. But Jesus says there's something that we can obtain and we can experience and we can hold on to in this life. When I was studying for this, I reached out to some friends of mine who are believers, and I asked them, I said, what does it mean to you that you can experience the kingdom of heaven right now? And these are some of the things that they said. The kingdom of heaven has value in the way that we can see the world as it really is. We can begin to see that our present sufferings are nothing in comparison to the glory of God. We can begin to see the ways that God is already making all things new. We can begin to understand that every time we see someone repenting, saying sorry for hurting a neighbor, we're seeing the kingdom of heaven. Anytime we experience or we see a neighbor receiving help that they need, it's the kingdom of heaven. And this isn't just good people doing good things. This is the Lord of heaven and earth beginning to make all things new in this life. And it doesn't make sense to everyone, right? It's something you have to know and experience and understand. Otherwise, it seems as crazy as someone just selling off everything they have if you don't understand what they're selling it for. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he asks us, he tells us, we give everything to him. We surrender our lives, our bank accounts, our children, our free time, our habits, our desires. We surrender all of it to his lordship, to his kingship. That's what it means to live in God's kingdom. But do you see how these treasure hunters don't have buyer's remorse? They know that what they have traded in, they know that the cost is nothing compared to the value, to the worth of what they have gained. We have not been called to a life of poverty. We have been called to a life of spiritual wealth and spiritual abundance. In both of these stories, Jesus shows us that we must trade everything in order to experience this richness. This won't make sense to everyone, but it made sense to Paul. This passage that Rick read for us just now, I encourage you to read it again later, Philippians. Paul was writing from a letter. He was writing from prison, this letter, to a church in a city called Philippi. He's writing from prison, and he's saying these words, that he considers anything good in his life, his confidence, his abilities, his possessions, everything he considers to be garbage. That's the word he uses. Rubbish. Trash. Compared to what? The surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. The surpassing worth. He's not just talking about the value that he will inherit one day when he dies, although that's part of it. Paul seems to understand that the kingdom of heaven means something transformative to him right there right now while he's in prison. But Jesus gives us another parable. Because yes, the kingdom of heaven does have value for us today. But the kingdom of heaven does also have value in the life to come. You know, think about it this way. If we are investing in a retirement fund, depending on your age, you're not going to see it for a while. We see both of these things happening, both an immediate return on the investment and one that is storing up treasures in heaven. And so let's look at the second parable. But first, if you see the kingdom of heaven's value, you understand it, then you know it's worth giving everything up for. And Jesus knows that's not everybody's story. And a few chapters later, Matthew 19 tells us of an event that happens in real life. You may have heard it before. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And it's really interesting because he uses a lot of this financial investment language. The rich young ruler says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's so interesting. If you've read this parable, and then a few chapters later you read the story, you see Jesus asks this man, not every man, but this man, to live out this parable. He says, "Sell everything you have, and you'll inherit the kingdom of heaven." And what does he do? He walks away angry. That's what the text tells us, that he's mad. He's not joyful like one of these guys. He's angry that the kingdom of heaven would cost him something that he's not willing to pay. Why is that? Because he doesn't understand the value of the kingdom. He doesn't see that what he would be trading in is so much worth so much more. So Jesus explains a very important aspect of this kingdom in the second parable that we see. It should make us think a lot about what Court preached on last week, if you were here, the parable of the wheat and the weeds growing up together, and then the angels sort through the weeds. It should make us think of that parable because it uses a lot of the same words, almost word for word. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is a net cast wide. And every kind of fish are gathered into this net, just like every kind of person experiences God's grace. Here's what I mean. You don't have to be a Christian to experience a miraculous healing at the hands of a world-renowned surgeon, right? You don't have to believe in Jesus to have beautiful babies or to see people fighting injustice in the world or to live long enough to see someone who's hurt you receive the judgment that's due. You don't have to believe in Jesus to experience these things. You see, anytime anyone in the world experiences moments of beauty or justice or triumph, they're tasting the kingdom of heaven. They've been caught in the net. But not every kind of fish is righteous, the Bible tells us. That's Matthew's word, righteous. Not every fish gets sorted through. If you've been in my Bible studies or Sunday school classes, you've heard me say before that the Bible was written before we had bold font or italics or underline. And so if the author wanted us to pay attention to something, what would they have to do? Repeat it. In this one chapter of Matthew 13, we have now heard Jesus say twice that at the end of the age, angels will sort out evil from among the righteous and cast the evil into a fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We better pay attention. It's not meant to scare us. It's meant to sober us, to realize that the invitation Jesus offers us should not be taken lightly. As Jesus tells us each of these parables we've been studying, and even before then when he was talking to John the Baptist's followers and the crowds, he says, listen, listen, listen. Jesus wants us to find the kingdom. He wants us to know the value, but he understands that like the rich young ruler, not everybody will. He understands that just like the soil that's hard and rocky, or the plants that grow up among the thorns, some people will fall away and be scandalized by the kingdom. And here's why. The kingdom of heaven often doesn't make sense, the value, because its value is hidden. And that's what we see with this last parable, which is more of a parting word to the disciples. So we've talked about the value of the kingdom today. We've talked about the value of the kingdom in the life to come. And now I want to talk about how this value is hidden. Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you understand all this?" He says, "The treasure was hidden. The pearl had to be sought out. The fish don't see the net coming. Do you understand?" And the disciples answer, "Yes," optimistically and enthusiastically. Maybe they don't totally understand, but it's clear from their response they believe and they want to understand. To the best of their abilities, they see that the kingdom does have great value and does have great consequence. And Jesus says, "Good, because this is hidden. And it's your job as my disciples to bring it out and put it on display for others." He gives us the image of a household manager who takes inventory of what a rich, wealthy household's basement is and knows what's valuable. What should I bring out and display to show my master's wealth? Makes me think of a museum curator that's putting together certain pieces to capture whatever exhibit is on a display. Or maybe someone who's skilled at setting up an estate sale or really good at bargain shopping at a thrift store. I am not those things. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is a hidden treasure that the disciples will need to bring out and display strategically. And that's what all of these parables point to, the hidden nature of the kingdom. It won't be obvious. It's hidden, but still very, very valuable. The kingdom of heaven is a hidden treasure that gathers the fish, both the good and the bad. And if we understand the kingdom, if we know that Jesus is king, then we spend our lives uncovering the truth of the kingdom and putting it on display for others. At the end of the day, we live in a kingdom of heaven today, which means that we live with Jesus. We follow him everywhere. We seek to be more like him. Because if we're in his kingdom, it means he's our king. I want to end with this. Do you see how each of these parables whispers the truth of the gospel story? Jesus Christ is the merchant who gave up everything, even his life, to come after his treasure. Jesus Christ is the net who gathers us together, but he's also the only righteous fish who gave up his place so that we might stay. And Jesus is the fulfillment of every word, letter, and scribble of the Old Testament, and he's the new covenant. Jesus is the treasure, but he's also the one who seeks the lost treasure. Jesus is the net, but he's also the only righteous fish. And Jesus is the ultimate scribe, but he's also the embodiment of old and new, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Love so amazing, so divine, demands what? My soul, my life, my all. There is nothing that you can give up in this world that will not be worth the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.